This podcast was recorded Thursday, April 20th at 10:33 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like state lawmakers will make recreational marijuana legal just for today's 420 festivities.
The one day exception to the law. They're going to do it in August. They can do it now.
Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who are looking for your vote. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. Coming up in the podcast, the Republican field for U.S. Senate has doubled in size.
Yes, it has. But first, we are a couple of steps closer to a special August election. This week, the Ohio Senate approved putting a question on an August ballot that would ask voters if they want to make it harder to change the Ohio Constitution.
It would require a 60% majority to change the Constitution. It would also mandate getting signatures from all 88 Ohio counties, not just half, as is required now. And it does not give citizens an extra 10 days to collect signatures if they fall short.
Now, the Ohio Senate approval was expected. There was no real doubt that the Republican supermajority in that chamber would support the 60% threshold. The real fight will be in the Ohio House, and that fight got loud this week.
Shame.
Opponents
shame.
Of the 60% threshold move shouted shame at committee members who shut off debate and then voted to send its version of the resolution to the full House.
But there's no guarantee the House will take up this issue. House Speaker Jason Stevens says he's not a big fan of it, but he may have no choice if Republicans can drum up enough support to force a vote in the House.
And don't forget, lawmakers have to undo a law they passed just last year, the law that does away with most August special elections. That was, of course, a wide-reaching election bill that also installed the current voter ID requirement.
Yeah, so time is running short. The lawmakers have a couple of weeks to get this done. Frank LaRoe says it has to be done by early May to meet the deadlines required to get this on a ballot in August. So we expect some quick action on this. And now the action will be in the House. They have their own version. It's slightly different, but basically it's the same.
Yeah, HJR1 or SJR1, basically saying that they want to raise the threshold to 60% up from a simple majority as required now. It's interesting Stevens's apprehension to do this. There's been a lot of speculations that maybe this was part of a deal he cut with Democrats in order to win the speakership, because there does seem to be more support behind this than there was in late 2022 when this failed as part of the lame duck session. There's more of a coalescing of Republicans behind this now. And it's interesting that Stevens, he says he may have to vote for it, but very reluctant to do so.
Yeah, Gongwer did a poll last, the news organization that covers the State House did a poll last week. They polled lawmakers. So the scientific nature of this, you wonder.
And they won't say how many on each side.
Basically, they showed that there was overwhelming support among Republicans to put this on an August ballot, but only a slight majority of Republicans thought it would pass.
Right.
So there's one reason why Republicans might be reluctant to go this route, because it would be a difficult campaign. Even with an August election, there's going to be a lot of campaigning about this. So it could very well lose in August, and that would not make them look good. And even if it does pass and the Constitution is changed requiring that 60% margin, that's in the Constitution now. So that means Republican or conservative amendment proposals will need that 60%, and lawmakers may not want that.
And I don't imagine it would pass. I just can't imagine this passing. I think when in doubt, voters vote no, and it's an easy campaign. I mean, the campaign for the pro 60% crowd is pretty easy too. Protect our Constitution. But the campaign against it is just as easy. They're trying to take your vote away. They're trying to silence you. They want to make it so 41% of the state can control the state.
I don't think this passes if it's in November. I don't think this passes if it's in May. But an August election is such a wild card. And the one I always point to is the 2009 August election, where then Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman got a 25% income tax increase passed during a recession.
During the Great Recession, during a terrible economic time in this country.
Because they ran a good campaign and it was a tiny turnout and they won. So an August election is such a wild card, but I agree with you. I think it would be, if it's 60%, I do think that if they can run a good campaign and get the turnout that the opponents to this can drum up a good turnout, I don't see it winning. I really don't.
I don't either. But it's interesting the way that politics is gross, man. The way that this was shoved through is really not very democratic, and they want to. The whole amendment itself is anti-democratic in many ways. I mean, it's anti-majority rule. It's only super-majority rule, and it's being pushed by a very gerrymandered legislature. And so this is, I guess optics don't really matter anymore because the optics of this are comical.
Yeah, I mean, we had Mike Curtin on a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, and if you didn't, it's about constitutional law, but it's actually pretty interesting. If you didn't hear it, go back in the feed and look for it. But he was basically saying the Constitutional Modernization Committee looked at this, and they had a reasonable compromise. 55% would be the margin required to pass an amendment to the Constitution. And it would also make it so voter-initiated statutes would have more teeth. And basically, you know, right now, the lawmakers are on 420. They are considering a bill to legalize marijuana for recreational use. It's an initiated statute. If they don't do anything, the supporters of this will go back to the ballot and collect signatures. And if it wins, the lawmakers could just reverse it the next day. They could say, yeah, okay, voters want to legalize pot. We don't. We're going to pass a law that immediately makes it illegal. What Curtin said, what they wanted to have was some kind of a, you couldn't do that for 5 years. So it would make that initiated statute where voters could change state law. It would have teeth, and that would keep them from wanting to change the Constitution. The Constitution would be for bigger picture items, not casino locations, not legalizing marijuana. It would be for bigger issues. And there's the compromise there. But how long did it take me to explain that, put that in a 30-second ad? You know, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. Anyway, we'll be right back.
It started as a normal day.
What if the truth about the greatest tragedy of your life was kept secret from you?
Huge explosion occurred.
This is the story of a scandal deliberately buried in the chaos of the Iraq War.
What really just happened?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast and its latest series, Taking Cover.
Welcome back to Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media. As we said in the opening, the Republican field for U.S. Senate has doubled in size. We're up to a whopping two candidates now. This week, Cleveland businessman Bernie Moreno entered the race to take on Democrat Sherrod Brown.
Yeah, Moreno joins State Senator Matt Dolan. Moreno embraces former President Trump. Dolan, not so much. Moreno ran in 2022, but he dropped out after meeting with Donald Trump. And Trump has already given him kind of his pre-endorsement, saying Moreno would be tough to beat. Not saying vote for him just yet, but saying he'd be tough to beat.
Yeah, he's a pro-business candidate. He is a businessman himself, and he would be a legitimate candidate. I think the elephant in the room here is Frank LaRose. Frank LaRose is running for this office. You can tell by his Twitter feed. He is constantly attacking Sherrod Brown. Frank LaRose is running for U.S. Senate. He's running a shadow campaign right now.
Not official yet. Yeah.
Not official, but let's be honest. He's going to run for U.S. Senate. It'd be shocking if he did not run for U.S. Senate. So the caveat here is that Bernie Moreno, yes, viable candidate. Frank LaRose looms on the conservative side.
Yeah, I mean, Moreno has money to fund his own campaign, just like Matt Dolan is so far.
Yeah, he's got the money
funding
too.
His campaign. Matt Dolan has raised $3.3 million in the first quarter of this year, which sounds good until you see that $3 million of that $3.3 million is his own money that he has loaned his campaign.
Matt Dolan comes from the family of the owner of the Cleveland Guardians.
Yes. So, and Matt Dolan is a state senator. He ran before, came in, what a close.
I think he was
close-ish second.
Because the pro-Trump far-right crowd divided the vote.
So he's a serious candidate, but he and Frank LaRose are very similar. LaRose is definitely tacking more to the right with his flip-flopping on election security and flip-flopping on the August election. But you're right. Frank LaRose, you know, he's not even on the course yet, but he would be your front runner.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, I guess. I mean, Sherrod Brown is a a very viable politician. He's proven himself again and again in what is now a red state. Sherrod Brown would be a formidable opponent for Frank LaRose, even.
Yeah, he will be. He is vulnerable.
He is vulnerable.
I don't think so. He's not certainly not a slam dunk for re-election, because Ohio has turned pretty sharply to the right. So there will be a sizable number of Republicans very interested in taking him on. I don't think the field will be as large as it was when there was an open seat when Rob Portman announced he would not seek re-election. Congressman Warren Davidson, who represents suburban Cincinnati and far southwestern Ohio, is said to be considering a run, so he could get in. So you're looking at maybe five candidates, and
I think they're relying on a gaffe from Frank LaRose. I don't know how any of them beats LaRose at this point.
As far as organization,
The big money's going to coalesce around Frank LaRose. I mean, I don't think he's as wealthy as Matt Dolan or Bernie Moreno, but the independent money is going to coalesce around Frank LaRose.
Yes. I mean, he's run and won statewide now twice. He is well known. He has done a very good job keeping himself in the news over these past few months with his statements on election security and the August election. And
yeah.
He is catered.
He's a decorated military veteran.
Yeah, he's a strong candidate, no doubt. And that would be a really interesting race, Frank LaRose and Sherrod Brown. The question is there, if the field gets so large, is there splitting of votes, the Trump vote versus the non-Trump
vote? Sure,
vote.
Like there was in 2022.
And I don't, right now, that hasn't shaped up like that right now. There's no real, really loud pro-Trump candidate in the race.
There's not a Josh Mandel.
Not yet. Now, Bernie Moreno could be that person.
Josh Mandel could come back. He refuses to go away.
He always likes to. I do not see him running this soon. He may run again. He likely will run again, but not this soon.
Anyway, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment. That is where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. And this week it goes to an organization not political at all, and it honors a move that's not shrewd at all, but it is pretty funny.
Yeah, this week it goes to, I guess you'd call it the U.S. Navy, maybe the docks. Anyway, the city of Cleveland has taken its share of hits. Its most popular team, the Browns, constantly underperforms. Other teams have broken their fans' hearts. Of course, the river caught fire. Well, the city got an honor this week. It got another new Navy combat ship named in its honor, the USS Cleveland.
And with great fanfare, it was launched Sunday in Wisconsin. I'm not sure why it was launched.
I think that's where it was built. Yeah.
Okay. And it promptly slammed into a tugboat.
You can't make this up. No one was hurt, and it suffered just minor damage. It was in no danger of sinking. But only the USS Cleveland can get into a fender bender as it pulls out of the sales lot.
So, the USS Cleveland, you get our Snollygoster of the Week award. I am glad the gnome was hurt. I'm glad the ship's going to make it. But lots of Browns analogies to be had here.
You know, we could have given our Snollygoster of the Week award to the Cleveland Browns for ending their relationship with First Energy and taking First
Energy's
name.
That's the anti-Snollygoster.
Yes.
That's the anti. I mean, could they have called it Larry Householder Stadium?
Bailout Stadium.
HB6 Field.
Racketeering Stadium.
Anyway, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. And just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, and our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.